Okay, item one, chairman's notices. There are none. Well, there are the usual notices which are listed, which I don't propose to read, because I think everyone here can read. Item two, apologies for absence.
Yes, chairman, apologies received from Mrs. Acevedo, Mrs. Elliott, Councillor McKenzie, and Councillor Pearlman, and Councillor Durham is attending as substitute for Councillor Mrs. Elliott. Councillor Lewis will be attending as substitute for Councillor Bowman.
Okay, thank you. Item three, to confirm the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on Tuesday, the 21st of April 2015.
Agreed.
Disclosure of interest. Item four, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest, or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraph 6-8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct. For members. Members are reminded they should also they're also required to disclose any such interest as soon as they become aware should the need arise throughout the meeting. Any? None? Okay. Item five, public participation. There is none. Item six, committee chairman's good news announcement. There is some good news, apparently. In item 3.2, seven pieces of good news. But in addition to that, also in relation to the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, RIPA investigation, inspection, which took place after the approval that we had, I think, at the last meeting. The council has received a very positive report following the recent RIPA inspection from the Office of Surveillance Commissioners. The inspector concluded that the council is not a frequent user of the legislation for the purpose of undertaking direct surveillance, but I'm sure that that should this be a requirement, they will be able to do so in a RIPA compliant manner. So there you go, good news. Item seven, role of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll just be doing a very short presentation on the role of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee. As some of the members might know, we are in the process of setting up the Members Development Programme, and as part of that, you will be getting a more comprehensive training package on finance. So this is just a supplement. So I've been asked to do this in 5 minutes, so if you could stay awake for the next 5 minutes, and that would be great. The scope of the presentation tonight is just covering the function areas of FNCS, the main duties of this committee, and more importantly, the 15-16 work programme. Many of you would know this. The function areas of FNCS, financial management, human resources, IT, asset management, local rent charges, procurement, and any other corporate services would fall within the remits of FNCS. The main duties of this committee, the first obvious item is the regulation and control of the council's financial affairs, which in particular that includes the approval of the annual capital and revenue budget, council tax setting, medium-term financial strategy, fees and charges, members' allowance, and also the setting of the council's financial regulations and the financial procedures and contracts procedure rules. Now, on some of the non-financial items, this committee is also responsible for considering any strategies and policies of a corporate nature, which will include HR, legal, and IT. This committee is also responsible for looking at the health and safety issues in relation to the council's activities and also asset management, which I cover in the very first slide. 15-16 work programme, so apologies for the members who have been sitting on this committee in previous years. For the work programme, obviously the financial monitoring reports that will be presented at the committee in a future date, medium-term financial plan, the relevant 16-17 budget and council tax setting reports, council tax base, which will be used for the council tax setting process. This committee will also receive a quarterly update on HR statistics, health and safety updates, the performance against the corporate plan, treasury management updates, which are one of the item of tonight's, and also supplementary estimates, environments and procurement exemptions is also presented at this committee. Finally, this committee is also or will be receiving reports of the financial and contract procedure rules, pay policy statement, and also the 16-17 business plans. So that's a quick 5 minute roles and responsibilities of this committee. Happy to take any questions?
Any questions on that, members?
Are we going to get a copy of this?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Is it copy enclosed on the agenda, but we haven't got one?
No, I'll be happy to send it out.
Okay.
Yeah, later on.
And Chairman, I know you're keen to move on, but bear in mind that the new members of the committee tonight, certainly the new members of council, aren't here this evening. Perhaps the Director of Resources could confirm that she'll meet with them and just actually go through that report in advance of the next meeting.
Yeah, happy to do so.
Yeah.
Members, is that noted?
Noted.
Okay. Yeah. On to the next item, Review of Performance 2014-15.
Thank you, Chairman. This report details the performance against the target set for 14-15. It should be noted that good progress has been made on a number of activities and successes achieved, the details of which are contained in Appendix 1. May I please draw your attention to the list of achievements that are highlighted in Section 3.2, which are relevant to this committee. In particular, we have agreed a new corporate plan for 2015 to 2019. The collection rates for both council tax and business rates have improved even further. Our colleague in IT, Claire Clark, has also helped the council to win the best in the Eastern region for the Address Data Award recently. Happy to take any questions on this.
Members, Councillor Harker.
I'd like to say I like the idea of having the recommendation on page one.
Yeah, that's something we've adopted in the last couple of meetings, and I welcome it as well. Any other members? Is that noted and agreed? Okay, thank you. On to the following item, which is annual report on whistleblowing.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. If I may present this report on behalf of the Director of Resources, it is very simply a report to give an update on the amendments to the current whistleblowing policy. The whistleblowing policy has been in place and was adopted by the Council on 9th of May 2013. It is in place to allow for a sensitive and secret process to disclose allegations of malpractice. The previous iteration was not live to the amendments to the CLT, and indeed this new iteration has been amended to reflect that. The amendments are relatively minor. The only point that I would highlight to the committee is that there were no complaints made under the whistleblowing policy for the year 2014-15.
Which is clearly a move in the right direction. Noted and agreed. Councillor Harker.
It would be handy if we had track changes on policy so that we know what's been changed from the old one.
Point taken on that,
Councillor
Harker. Yep.
Understood. Councillor Durham.
Well, Chairman, I would just like to know whether anything has changed on this whistleblowing policy that will avoid the problem that this council has experienced in previous years, where a whistleblowing was reported to the person that the whistleblowing was about.
Well, I don't think that was consistent with the policy at the time, but Ms.
Kelly... No, but I think, Chairman, that we need to make sure that we are protected from this, and this may actually be a reason why there haven't been, any whistleblowing cases in the last 12 months. I mean, hopefully it's because everything is tickety-boo and everybody's happy. But certainly, if there is a feeling that if you do carry out a whistleblowing on a colleague or another member of staff and that is going to become public, that is certainly going to dissuade somebody from doing it, and I'd like that assurance that it's not going to happen.
Ms. Kelly?
More than happy to reply to you on that point. I would take this that this is a working document, obviously it's a live document, and we do amend it consistently. I understand your historic concerns. One of the key considerations for any whistleblowing as a whistleblowing officer, which I have the position of, I'm the policy owner, would be to consider confidentiality and whether there is any reason to break that confidentiality. If there is a material reason that has to be taken into consideration, then obviously that is a material reason and we cannot overcome that. However, more often than not, I think we would absolutely seek to ensure that the confidentiality was key.
flu crash, I think, the first, and then the leader. Okay.
Thank you. I wonder if you could give me an example of what one of those situations might be, because clearly the whistleblowing situation that did become not public but reported to the person upon whom the whistle had been blown was then cited in a constructive dismissal case. That was one of the reasons that person went forward for constructive dismissal. So what would be the sort of reason for blowing a whistle on the whistleblower?
Oh, crikey. By blowing a whistle on the whistleblower, I mean we've seen getting rid of the confidentiality as to who the whistleblower is, the initial whistleblower is. It's difficult because obviously every situation you are considering on its merits. In some instances, the information known by the whistleblower will only be known by one person, and thereby they are identified as such. And that is obviously a situation that is difficult to get over. And it becomes an elephant in the room. And as much as we would absolutely try to maintain the confidentiality of any whistleblowing allegation, we would have to consider it in the round, and it would be naive of me to say that we weren't going to do that.
Councillor Fugard.
Thank you, Chairman. 2.4, I think, is a tad misleading insofar as the fact that although no complaints were made under the whistleblowing policy, we agree that, but there were some complaints raised in the last 12 months anonymously. And I wondered whether or not, when you go to the next stage of this policy and procedure overview, you cover that point, because that was something that was supposed to be coming back to council. I don't know if it's on the agenda for the 9th of July, but I can see you both nodding in agreement that it isn't, but I think that's something that council, by virtue of that debate, they would like to see. Thank you, Chairman.
May I come back on it? Entirely agree. And certainly that's on my to-do list over the next few months.
Okay, with that, is the report noted? Good. Okay, moving on to the following item, which is item 10, corporate communication strategy.
Thank you, Chairman. The corporate communication strategy aims to promote, enhance and protect the council's reputation, and in particular it seeks to ensure that we communicate in an accurate, timely and appropriate way. We have reviewed this strategy to reflect current practices and also to reflect the new job titles after the senior management restructure. And the updated strategy is attached in Appendix 1. Containing Appendix 2 is the Press, Media and Public Forum Protocol for elected members, which aims to provide some guidance to elected members of the Council in their communications with the press. It's important that the guidance is adhered to in order to ensure that the smooth running of the Council and that the Council's messages to the community are consistent. The protocol is attached in Appendix 2 and again has been updated with job title changes following the senior management review. Members are asked to recommend to Council the adoption of both Appendix 1 and Appendix 2.
Members, Councillor Fuca.
I'm sure that Councillor Dunn's about to say this, but again, it would be nice if we could see the track changes just so that we could follow what's going on. But it certainly gives me a certain amount of comfort when one looks at 5.1 bullet 5, and I look forward to the council adhering to that. Thank you, Chairman.
Excuse me.
Through
you, Chair. Could Councillor Fluker elaborate on where he thinks the Council isn't adhering to 5.1?
Well, I think we're here to approve this particular item, so if we could do that rather than get into a debate.
Could I make a supplementary point? Whilst the press and media policy protocol is something that is advice to members, particularly when one considers the position of chairman, leaders, vice chairman of committees, those members who don't have a clear responsibility for a committee really should be mindful that in not adhering to this policy, they are risking the code of conduct in not showing those people respect.
Understood, Councillor Harker.
Yeah, on Appendix 2, members of the council, the bottom paragraph were elected members and dealing with the press. I've seen on Facebook just lately members advocating that they are for or against certain planning applications. That is expressing a view, and that is a serious thing, and that's not mentioned in this Appendix 2, that you should avoid any public expression of an opinion on planning applications.
But that's a sort of kind of separate code of conduct issue, isn't it? I think, I mean, it's probably covered under that. Yes.
If I may, Councillor Harker, entirely agree. It must be. It's a difficult balancing act to do to ensure that any member who is considering a planning application must come to that meeting with an unclouded mind, who is open to any discussion during the course of that meeting. Quite agree. Thank you.
Councillor Foucault,
I know you don't want to debate this where we're going, but I think we must understand what Section 25 of the Localism Act says, and so long as you keep an open mind at all times, you can say what you want, where you want, as long as you make it absolutely clear. And I think that perhaps we should review this with social media and other channels, because there's an awful lot of things that are said in the public domain that perhaps we do need to sort of revise and take this policy into the 21st century. Thank you for indulging me, Chairman. Thank you,
Councillor Fluker. Should we then move on to the recommendation, item 2? Sorry.
So can I just add to that? Sorry, if I could just respond back to you, Councillor Fluker, you will know that there is an item on the Overman Scrutiny Work Programme which relates to the communications with the press. So your idea will certainly be taken forward by the ONS Committee. Yep.
Okay, with that, do we recommend to Council that that policy is approved? Excellent. Okay, moving on to item 11, supplementary estimates.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. This report informs the committee that we had one supplementary estimate received in relation to the planning upgrade to the uniform system, which has added about £15,000 to our capital programme. This was agreed by the chairman of this committee and also the leader of the council back in April. With regards to the procurement exemptions, four have been granted during April and May this year, and the details are listed in section 3.4. Committee is asked to note this report.
Is noted. Okay. Item 12, the annual treasury outturn report 2014-15. Okay. Despite the fact that Goldman Sachs isn't actually mentioned in this report, the Director of Resources tells me that because we did invest with Goldman Sachs during the course of the year, that it might be prudent to declare an interest, which I would have done had it appeared in the report, but it didn't. But I'm very happy to do that, and I will take leave while someone else chairs this item.
Could I suggest that Brian takes the chair? Sorry, Councillor Harker takes the chair as chair of Audit Committee.
Yes, sir.
Agenda item 12.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. This is an annual report showing the performance of our treasury management activities during 14-15. During the year, the Council's investment balances have ranged between £12.5 million to £21.5 million. I'm pleased to report that our
investment income total to about £130,000. This is higher than our revised budget of £121,000. The average return of investment is about 0.57%, which is higher than the benchmark of 0.44%. The committee is asked to recommend to full council for the approval of the Treasury Management Report as contained in Appendix A. Happy to take any questions?
Councillor Fluker.
I think that given the difficult markets that we're in, I think we've done very, very well. And I actually tried to place 1.5 million of LIBOR money the other day, and the NatWest Bank offered me 0.3.
What is your question?
But my question is that this is a good result, percentage-wise, in relation to where we've got to. But I do remember that there was a suggestion, I don't know if it was followed through, where we were going to actually move the money on sort of daily or weekly basis. Was that ever done?
I mean, as our treasury management strategy, we try to seek longer term investment, which would obviously generate more investment rate of return. But we always go with the advice by our treasury advisor, Alan Close Limited. So they would be our advisor.
Chairman, if I just come back, because this is probably before the time that the Director of Resources was appointed, but I believed that we agreed, and this committee discussed it, that somebody was going to be responsible for working the money harder within the advice that obviously Arlene Close give us. And I just wondered if that was happening, but it sounds as though it was never put into practice.
I mean, bearing in mind that the benchmark, result of the Arlene Close Group was about 0.44%, you know, the council has done really well, 0.57%, you know, we will continue to seek advice with Arlene Close. We meet with them every quarter and we'll continue to seek for a better investment return.
Thank you. Councillor Ms Lewis.
Thank you. It was the investment activity paragraph, second to the bottom of page 2. It was the range of the investment balances. So presumably that's just the main sum of cash that we've got in there. How does it range so much? That's a massive range. It's almost double, isn't it?
You're absolutely right, Councillor Lewis. Our daily sort of cash flow changes every day, depending on when we collect the business rates, depending on when we collect the council tax. And as you know, February, March seems to be a lower figure because we don't collect council tax.
Councillor Shipton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I notice on page 3 the fixed term investments outstanding at the 31st of March. They are all now out of date. I would be interested to know what the fixed term investments as of today are. Or anyway, of last week then.
I can get the data to you.
That would be most
interesting.
Later.
Thank
you.
Councillor Beale. Councillor Fluker, could you turn your mic off?
Sorry.
There are assessment groups all over the world, one of them is Standard & Poor's, etc., and they are giving an update on the financial statement of banks and everything else and their capabilities. The advisory group that we have to indicate where we should invest the money, do they use any of that information from those groups, or where do they get them from?
It's on page 6. The answer.
Yep.
Absolutely right, Councillor Harker.
Yeah. Right. Have we approved the Appendix A? Right, thank you.
Can somebody go and get Mr. Sisley?
It doesn't say who the ones are that say an AA1 and AA2, etc. There's different groups give different ratings, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it is effectively Arlene Close reports their own internal report that we would, follow the guidance of.
Shouldn't that be in there?
We take that as a given because, this is a template that's been given to us by Arlene Close, but we are happy to add that in if that's...
Yeah.
The request, yeah.
Some
happy to.
Different sort of ratings, don't they?
Yeah.
So, etc. So, we'll know the standard, what's up as all. I can't see it written anywhere.
No, fair enough point.
Okay, item 13, the 16-17 budget setting process update. Yes. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman. Some members might recall that at the last FNCS meeting, the timetable for the 16-17 budget setting process was agreed, and that a regular update will be brought back to this committee. Just to remind everyone that we've got a budget gap of £555,000 for 16-17. Since the last meeting, we had a budget workshop with all the service managers as well as the corporate leadership team, which has brought out many income generation ideas and also cost savings, and those ideas will be discussed with members at the forthcoming budget seminar on the 13th of July, and may I take this opportunity to urge everyone to attend that whenever possible. We've also had a budget scrutiny exercise held by myself with other directors, and we went through line by line all the budgets that have a historic trend of underspend, and I'm very pleased to report that we've identified just over £100,000 of savings from that exercise. Some members might recall that Mr. George Osborne announced about 3 weeks ago that he'll be cutting £3 billion of public expenditure in particular Whitehall departments. Obviously, we won't actually know the impacts to local government until the emergency budget announcement on the 8th of July, and I will include as much information as I can for the forthcoming budget seminar with members. The committee is asked to note this report, so happy to take any questions.
Any questions, Councillor Brewer?
On the report, we've got page 2 of 2, it says on 3.4 there'll be a budget seminar to be held with members on the 13th of July, but I've got another piece of paper here that says we've got a budget seminar on the 2nd of July. Which one is right, and are they both the same?
It is definitely the 13th of July. I'm not sure what the 2nd of July is, because I actually personally sent out the invite myself.
But I've got information here from the diary. I've just picked it up just now, and it says the budget seminar is held at 19:30 on the 2nd of...
Yes. I mean, maybe it was a placeholder or something like that early on, but I think it is the 13th. It is the 13th.
Yeah.
I think it was a hold.
Some people might...
But it's certainly worth clarifying to members that it's definitely taking place on the 13th.
Yeah.
Okay, any other members? Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you. I'd just like to ask the director if she's aware that the Chief Executive and I had conversations about the use of the new homes bonus and that this was going to be included as part of the budget seminar considerations. Clearly, we will be getting, for as long as it lasts, and we're not sure how long that will be, a higher amount of new homes bonus, and it was felt that it would need to be seen to be going back into the community, not simply propping up our regular budget. So I wondered if you'd been made aware of that.
Yeah, I have. Fiona have spoken to me about that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, is the report noted? Excellent. On to 14, Asset Management Working Group.
Potentially the most contentious item on the agenda. Asset management, as highlighted in the earlier presentation, falls within the remit of this committee. The Asset Management Working Group was formed in February 2006, which was to consider issues relating to asset management planning and to ensure that our assets are appropriate and fit for purpose. You'll see a copy of the terms of reference of this group in Appendix 1. As many of you know, the Asset Management Working Group is not a decision-making group. It's been added as a sounding board for asset management-related topics. There is also a lack of a clear reporting line for the group, and there seems to be a lack of acceptance for the group's role or legitimacy, because it only includes a very small number of members. It should be noted that this committee has quite a comprehensive remit on asset management, and that this committee has direct decisions-making power on the capital programme and, in effect, any
asset management related decisions will have to come back to this committee anyway, and those decision making powers cannot be delegated to any committees or working group. So therefore one would argue that the asset management working group might not be adding much value to the asset management of the council, and it might actually duplicate some of the functions of this committee. So the committee is asked to consider whether to recommend to council to abolish the asset management working group.
I'll come to Councillor Fluke in a moment. I'm sure you have some views, but I think I fully endorse all of that. If there are important topics to come, they should come before the whole committee. If there are things that we want to set up a working group for, that a specific asset that we want to dispose of, we can set one up for that purpose. But there's no point having a permanent committee. Councillor Fluke.
Chairman, I'm actually with you on this one, but I have served on it for the last 3 years, and I do agree with the director. It's a massive resource, so I would certainly, if you're proposing we do that, then I'd agree. Thank you, Chairman.
And thank you for your service to the committee. Okay, that's agreed. Excellent. On to appointment of representatives, item 15.
Okay. Highlights in 3.1 or paragraph 3.1 of this report are the existing sort of representatives for the new appointments. So this committee is asked to agree the memberships of this group, as highlighted in paragraph 3.1.
Obviously, removing the first of those since we've just abolished, yep. Or I guess that's recommendation to council, isn't it?
Yeah, recommendation to council.
Okay, so we'll remove the first item, assuming that gets approved by council, and so those other items. So, okay, so just in relation to, are members happy with those appointments, or would they prefer to see other candidates, particularly in relation to people that don't serve on this committee? Councillor Fluke.
Chairman, bear in mind that I've been on the waste contract member tasked to finish group 9 from the beginning. By virtue of the fact that I was vice chairman of this committee, I would ask that I be considered to be one of the member representatives from this committee, which I'm not least for because I had 100% record of attendance at that committee. So I'd like to take that committee forward. Thank you, Chair.
And Councillor Elliott isn't on this committee anymore. Councillor Elliott isn't on this committee anyway, so I would be supportive of that. Councillor Durham?
Well, Chairman, I was actually going to suggest that Councillor Fluke goes on to that because of the late stages of this particular working group. It's very important that we have continuity. Councillor Pellman, I don't think, went to any meeting. And Councillor Fluke's input was very valuable. So I think it would benefit to keep continuity across that. And it will be finished, of course, in this administrative year.
So is that a proposal to recommend, to replace Councillor Elliott or Councillor Perlman with Councillor Fluke?
Well, Councillor Elliott is no longer on the committee.
Yes, I think that's sensible. I would second that. Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you. I wondered if, rather than Councillor PG Elliott, that should read Councillor Helen Elliott, perhaps as vice chair, or is she on already?
She's on already. So the chair,
I take what Councillor Fluker has said about the need for continuity and being so close to the end of a working group. But the tourism and events and leisure contract groups will be ongoing, and I do feel that Councillor Mrs. Elliott, as vice chair, should be accommodated somewhere within those ones.
Sorry, the leisure or the tourism?
Both.
Because I thought the leisure was pretty much done. Okay, well look...
I didn't think it had entirely gone. I thought that there was still a monitoring phase.
Okay, I think the director can help us here.
Yeah. The leisure contract task and finish group, I've been told that there will be one final meeting later on this year.
Yeah, if it's only going to be the one, I know there was monitoring, if it's only going to be the one, I think the consistency is important, but I do feel that Councillor Mrs. Elliott ought to be accommodated on the tourism and events group, because clearly she's vice chair now.
Okay, Yes, well, I think that makes a lot of sense, and Councillor Elliott obviously isn't on this committee anymore, and so and neither is Councillor Wood, in fact. So we should, I'm very comfortable, Councillor Mrs. Elliott being one of those two members, and has anyone got a proposal for the other one? Anyone want to volunteer? Councillor Shimpton. Okay, so there's a proposal for Councillor Mrs. Elliott and Councillor Shimpton to be the members on the Tourism and Events Member Task and Finish Working Group. There's a proposal, and it probably makes sense for both of those members to be, I know Councillor Perlman is on this committee, but if he hasn't attended any of those meetings, does anyone have any suggestions for a fourth member for the waste contract?
Is it necessary to be on this committee?
Is it necessary?
Yeah. I think we're near the end.
Okay, fine.
So, on that... Chairman, I'm sorry, as chairman of that particular working group, I think we need to keep it exactly the same. Really, if somebody new comes onto it who doesn't understand it and starts questioning where we are, it's just going to cause
problems. I'm supportive of that. So why don't I make a proposal that we have the two councillors I just mentioned in relation to the tourism working group, and that we have Councillor Fluker and Councillor Perlman. We retain him even though he hasn't attended, plus the chair and vice chair for that task force. Mm-hmm. Is that seconded and agreed?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And Building Control Task and Finish, which is a new group, is the chair and vice chair, and hopefully that is agreed too.
Agreed.
Okay, thank you. Now we have any other items of business that the chairman of the committee decides urgent. I don't think we have any. So exclusion of the public and press. To resolve that under section 100A subsection 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of section 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Is that seconded?
Yes.